From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Claire Strempel with a quick look at your local and statewide news. Skagway is working to pioneer one of the first electric ferry programs in the country, and they want to use federal infrastructure dollars to pay for it. KHNS's Mike Swayze reports.
Last week, Skagway's assembly passed a resolution establishing an electric ferry pilot program. This comes on the heels of a major announcement by the federal government that $250 million of the roughly $1 trillion federal infrastructure bill would be earmarked for such programs, with at least one of them in Alaska. Jan Rentmore, chair of Skagway's ad hoc ferry committee, says Skagway is in a strong position to receive some of those funds.
We've been studying the concept of ferry independence for 10 years. The committee's worked. We have 4 reports. We've documented traffic. We've documented revenue in Lynn Canal. We've looked at the legalities of a ferry authority. We have looked at whether certain vessels would work for Skagway or not. So there's a huge body of work, which is why I think we're in a great place to be a pilot project under the infrastructure bill.
Skagway Assembly Person Orion Hansen told the assembly last week that he drafted the resolution to make it clear that the community wants to continue to work on developing lower emission options in its marine transportation sector.
What we're trying to establish is a less pollutive ferry alternative that works in conjunction with AMHS. We're not trying to replace it. If we pass this tonight, we will be able to go forth and lobby to have this happen here in our community in the Upper Lynn Canal. I think it's a very exciting time, and we're at the forefront.
The assembly approved the resolution unanimously. On Monday, Hansen told KHNS that the municipality will need to continue pursuing the federal infrastructure dollars and working with state partners.
We need to come up with a really good business plan that is in conjunction with the Alaska Marine Highway System and the Department of Transportation, because we need to work underneath their umbrella.
Skagway's assembly recently drafted a memorandum of understanding with Yukon Energy to bring renewable electricity to Skagway during the summer months for cruise ships to plug into Wallen Port. If that deal goes through, it would also mean the port would have the necessary electrical infrastructure to power an electric ferry. Skagway's ad hoc ferry committee has looked at 2 options to augment service. One, an electric ferry model that could run between Skagway and Haines and could be powered by Skagway's existing hydroelectric grid, even if a deal with Yukon Energy doesn't go through. The other is a hybrid electric option for a boat that could reach as far south as Juneau, though designs for that vessel are still in the conceptual stage. Earlier this fall, the municipality also signed an agreement with the State Department of Transportation to work toward the acquisition of the State Ferry Peninsula and ferry terminal property in Skagway. With Skagway taking over its port from current leaseholder White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad in 2023 and making agreements to take over the state ferry terminal and electrify the port, Skagway is actively pursuing green energy solutions to combat unreliable ferry service in the Upper Lynn Canal. Reporting from Skagway, I'm Mike Swayze.
A lawsuit by the Matanuska-Susitna Borough opposing the new voting maps for Alaska could be joined by other municipalities in the interior. As KUAC's Robin reports, the Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly has also received information about suing the Alaska Redistricting Board.
After the numbers come in from the U.S. Census, states must redraw their voting maps to make sure all legislative districts are even. The Alaska Redistricting Board cut our state into 40 House districts and approved the final map in a close 3-2 vote on November 10th. That triggered a 30-day deadline for anyone to complain about the new map. Late last week, the Matanuska-Susitna Borough filed to sue the Alaska Redistricting Board, saying the board's plan dilutes the effective strength of voters there by placing them in districts centered elsewhere. Towns around the state are attuned to the redistricting process because they can submit a court challenge or join one someone else submits. Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly Presiding Officer Mindy O'Neill says it was a topic at the recent Alaska Municipal League meeting.
So there was definitely conversations happening down in AML on that. I mean, I'd been kind of anecdotally told that MATSU was going to file.
Parties have until this Friday to file a court complaint.
There may be others that file suit, you know, in the next few days, within this week, too. We can wait to see what other people around the state are going to say and do. And if that's relevant to us, the body can make another decision.
That other decision might be joining another lawsuit. Ideally, each voting district in Alaska would have 18,335 people. That means the Fairbanks North Star Borough would be divided into 5.22 districts, and the Matanuska-Susitna Borough would get 5.84. It's how that extra population in each borough was put in a sixth district with other parts of Alaska that has caused concern. The final map gives MATSU 4 full house and 2 shared house districts. One of the shared districts is paired with Valdez for a Senate seat. MATSU's lawsuit also says the final plan overpopulates each of the 6 House districts within the MSB in an amount out of proportion with the rest of the state. That was a concern in Fairbanks when the Borough Assembly here in October sent a resolution to the Alaska Redistricting Board reminding them of the size and population of the Fairbanks North Star Borough. Now the Borough Attorney, Jill Dolan, has sent a follow-up memo about how the final map affects Fairbanks voters. O'Neill says the memo was distributed to the Assembly last week and is on the consent agenda at this Thursday's Borough Assembly meeting.
It's just a signal that we're watching this, we're monitoring it. We have a chance to participate if the body decides that we should. We just need to see who else is going to file a suit and if it makes sense for us to make sure that the people of Fairbanks have the best representation.
Dolan's memo points out problems such as where the Fairbanks borough's extra population in the Goldstream Valley is lumped in with a huge rural district, including Yukon River villages and the towns of Delta Junction and Toke. If the Assembly decided to file a lawsuit, it would have to be done by the next day, Friday's December 10th deadline. But if other parties, like the MATSU borough, sue the redistricting board, the Fairbanks North Star Borough can join those lawsuits later as an amicus curiae, or friend of the court. The FNSB did this 10 years ago during the last redistricting process. Every redistricting process since statehood has involved a lawsuit. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
Governor Mike Dunleavy says his administration is committed to replacing the Alaska Marine Highway's ocean-going Testamina. That's a lifeline in Southwest and Aleutian communities. As KMXT's Dylan Simmerd reports, the governor traveled to Kodiak to commit to getting a new vessel operational in 2027.
It's official. The Testamina is finally being replaced. The over $200 million project was announced by Governor Dunleavy during a Saturday visit to Kodiak.
We're going to be directing the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities to move forward with replacing the Testamina that has served Alaska and has been home ported here in Kodiak since 1964.
With the design 90% completed and an estimated 5 years to award a contract and build the new ferry, delivery is expected in 2027. The new ferry will run along the Testamina's current route from Homer to Kodiak and out the Aleutian chain to Dutch Harbor. The governor said the replacement vessel would be larger, increasing its passenger capacity to carry 250 people plus crew. It would also have deck space for 18 more vehicles for a total of 52 cars and trucks. If it's completed on time, it would be replacing a vessel that's 62 years old. The Testamina needs at least $2 million in maintenance every year, and the governor also announced an $8 million upgrade just to keep it running until the new ferry is ready. The Testamina replacement has been a years-old political project in coastal Alaska. Decades of braving some of the fiercest seas in U.S. coastal waters have taken their toll, and the vessel requires frequent maintenance. House Speaker Louise Stutes of Kodiak says it's been a long time coming.
Anybody that knows me knows that the Marine Highway has been one of my major focuses because it's just so important to rural coastal Alaskans. And I just want to, again, give the governor and his administration a big thank you for hearing us.
The current estimate for the total cost of the new ferry is between $200 and $250 million, according to the state DOT. That funding will be paid over a 5-year period using regular federal infrastructure dollars that's also used for highways and bridges. That federal pot of money available to tap has grown considerably after President Biden signed a $1 trillion infrastructure bill November 15th, according to the Alaska DOT. As per state law, the new ferry will be named for an Alaska glacier, with the name selected through an essay contest for Alaska grade schoolers. The project hasn't been put out to bid, and it's not known where the new ferry would be built. For KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Dylan Simard.
You're listening to KTOO.